Listen to Alan for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here, and welcome to the catch-up. Just going to figure out what I'm going to put in it. Talked a little bit about Paul Papalia, the tourism minister, in regards to the Gourmet Escape. We'll chuck that in there. A little bit about Peter Dutton. He wasn't too happy this morning. Also, Living Colour had a great chat with that great band. Susan Lee as well. We had a chat about all things going on in the business world. In survival-wise, had Heath on the show. We'll have him on. And a few little goodies here and there. Oh, yeah, had Winnie the Pooh on the show. I'll throw that chat in first. You can enjoy Winnie the Pooh straight off the bat, and then we'll get fully into it. Enjoy. Yesterday, you may have caught this news, but it appears that some of Australia's biggest honey producers have been accused of selling supermarkets fake honey. To chat to me all about this, I have a honey expert on the line, Winnie the Pooh. Good morning.
Oh, hello, Alan.
Now, Winnie, you don't mind having a quick chat about this, do you?
Yeah, I'm a big honey fan. Ask me anything.
First off, I thought we'd just check to see how much of an expert you are. What's your favourite kind of food, Winnie?
Honey chicken.
Your favourite sweet thing to eat?
Honey Cole.
What's your favourite movie?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Okay, what's your favourite sequel?
Oh, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Should have expected that, to be completely honest with you. Winnie, when this news broke yesterday about one of Australia's biggest honey producers selling beefed up versions of honey containing things like rice to kind of beef it up, what was your initial thoughts?
I love all honey, whether it's filled up with rice or beefed up with water. I love honey. In fact, if anyone's got an issue with their honey, they can send it to me, Winnie the Pooh.
Well, hopefully, Winnie, people can get in touch with you. Winnie the Pooh, thanks for having a chat with me today, mate. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
This band is headed back to WA in Perth Astor Theatre, Saturday the 15th of December.
I'm the culture personality, the culture personality.
Yes, Living Colour, and I have the man from the band, Vernon Reid, on the line, mate. I'm pumped you're coming back to Australia.
Yeah, we were excited to come back. We had a great time the last time we were there, and we're very excited to come back.
I feel like you guys weren't here that long ago. You must be loving it in Australia.
Yeah, it's a weird place. It's a cool place. It's a place that reminds you that you're living on a planet hurtling through space, and that's a good thing.
I'll tell you one thing that we definitely have in common is love for music. Living Colour, Vivid, 30 years old, a massive, massive album, Cult of Personality. I think every person learning guitar tried to give it a go at least once in their life. What a great song and what a great album.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Yeah, time is weird. Time is weird, and nobody escapes. So there you are. you blink, and 30 years ago, it's crazy. You know, every summer, everything that happened, and then, like sands through the hourglass, blah, blah, blah. It's great.
Love rears its ugly head. I love it.
Oh, sure.
I think Australia, that's like one of your most known songs here in Australia. It just, like, I don't know, it's just such a funky tune. It's so good.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, love is a powerful force, and love is beyond, it's kind of beyond good and evil, you know? And so, you know, it's about, I'll let you in on a little something. Like, the song Broken Hearts, well, you know, I wrote a bunch of songs, you know, and when it came, some songs didn't make it into the album. Broken Hearts was actually written after Love Rears Its Ugly Head, because Love Rears Its Ugly Head and Broken Hearts are about the same girl that I was dating. So Love Rears Its Ugly Head is about when I first fell in love with her, and Broken Hearts was our breakup.
Oh.
And so it's a song that's got a very personal dimension.
Yeah. When it comes to writing songs these days, with the political environment at the moment in America, is it easier or harder?
You know, well, a lot of our songs from our current record, Shade, you know, it's weird because the songs that we did on Shade seem like they're really responding to Trump, but we wrote those songs when Obama was still president, because politics, the things that go on, it almost doesn't matter. It does matter who the president is, but a lot of things that happen in society, you know, the presidents have, they can just make things better or worse. but they can't control what happens. And basically, the problem of a song is it doesn't matter if you have a message. Messages, I don't really think about messages. I just, whatever's going on, like, that's why Broken Hearts is on the same album with Cult of Personality, because I wasn't thinking of making a political album. I was thinking about writing an album which is about where we were. You know, it's whatever's on our mind. I mean, a song has to work as a song. The message, you could be talking about absolutely nothing. You know, it doesn't matter what you talk about. But the song has to work as a song, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you in the country. You're going to be in Perth at Astor Theatre on the 15th of December. It's going to be great to get you back in the country. Thank you so much for the chat today.
You're so very welcome. I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to seeing you.
Margaret River, Gourmet Escape. We heard a little bit yesterday about the name changing potentially. It has now been confirmed that IMG, Big Massive Events Company, has taken a new three-year deal to run the WA Gourmet Escape. Notice it's called WA Gourmet Escape. Marion Print, who does our local news, actually got to catch up with the WA Tourism Minister, Paul Papalia, and ask him a few questions. The one thing that I was worried about was definitely the name of WA Gourmet Escape. I wanted to obviously stay as Margaret River Gourmet Escape. Here's his answer in regards to that.
Yeah, I'll see both, but you'll see Margaret River Gourmet Escape in Margaret River. That is part of the Western Australian Gourmet Escape. IMG are going to be getting around and making it clear as to how it's all marketed and what people will see visually. But yes, there is a Margaret River Gourmet Escape. It's the brand isn't lost, it's retained. It's just augmented and supported by a much bigger event and much more powerful marketing beyond the shores of Australia and right around the world.
So what I take away from that is that it's still going to be called the Margaret River Gourmet Escape, only in Margaret River. So that's, yeah, hallelujah. That doesn't really make much sense at all. Of course, it also sounds like he doesn't have a bit of a clue in regards to what IMG is actually going to do, as they are the ones that are going to be branding and running the entire event for the next 3 years. As far as 2019 goes, Marion asked him where it was going to go in 2019. This is his reply to that.
Well, the Margaret River Gourmet Escape will still be all that high-quality, premium-end experience with all the favourites that people come to expect from that event. But we'll now have a Swan Valley event, and that'll be a bit more rustic and sell what the Swan Valley is known for. There'll be a Perth series of events, which will enable a lot of satellite events right across the metropolitan area and potentially expanding elsewhere in the future, plus a big World Gourmet Trade Symposium in the middle, which will attract professionals from right around the world in the chefing and the restaurant operation and the trade support of the hospitality industry sectors.
Well, that is the WA Tourism Minister, Paul Papalia, with those comments there. I've got to be honest, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I just kind of feel like it's Perth poaching another event from the southwest. We're already curious if the Margaret River Pro is going to go ahead next year after all the things that went down with that. And now it just feels like they're poaching in 2019. They're going to be spreading it out throughout the whole Perth. I don't know. Just let us have our things. How many festivals do you need, Perth? Like, really? Like, come on. It doesn't matter whether they're extending it to 10 days. Every time the Margaret River Gourmet Escape is on, it sells out every single event. So I don't know. I just feel I don't want to be a downer on the whole thing. Hopefully it holds, they stay true, and hopefully we don't lose it. But I got a feeling it's Perth trying to steal it away from Margaret River, just saying. Heath on the line, who was sent home from Survivor last night. He was dubbed at one point the king and queen of the contenders tribe, but unfortunately he was sent home last night with a bit of a blindside. I now have King Heath on the line. Mate, you must have enjoyed watching that episode back.
Yeah, I did. It's funny, I can remember obviously the blindside and standing there with that smile on my face. So it's pretty surreal to sit down and watch in the lounge room with the family. But it's all just part of the game. So it was it's good to finally know that I'm out of the game, and now I get to see how the rest of it unfolds.
Yeah, absolutely. You really missed your kids while you were there. Were they happy to see you back?
Oh, they were. It was, to be honest, that was the hardest part of being out there. The game was a hard game to play, physically, mentally, emotionally, very draining. But being away from the family was harder than all of that put together. So, really struggled with being away from my kids and my wife. But it's all part of the game and the experience. So you just got to take it as it comes.
Absolutely. Benji, he comes across on TV as a very conniving man. In reality, is he anything like that, or is it just all charm?
Oh, look, I don't know Benji outside of the game. I thought, well, I didn't think he was that kind of guy when we were playing it when I was on the island. But, you know, watching it all unfold now is sort of putting a few bits and pieces together, and you can see why certain things were happening. He was just playing the game really, really well. So, yeah, hats off to him. He's played it better than I thought he was playing it. But that's just the way it goes. Some people play it harder than others, and some people are happy to, you know, go and lie and backstab and get through the game that way, but that wasn't my game plan.
Yeah, I feel like you're almost playing too nice. Were you ready to make some of those big moves that would have made people angry at you?
Yeah, look, it's hard to say. Going in there, I just wanted to be myself, and I didn't want to change for the game. So I tried to play, you know, an honest, genuine game as far as I possibly could. I was willing to turn and you know, go against my morals if I needed to, but I think that point may have come if I got through to merge. So it would have been a completely different game then, and I think I would have had to change the way I was doing things. But look, I'm happy with the way that I played, and I'm proud of myself for it. So I can't complain. I have no regrets of how I played the game at all.
Absolutely. Tegan, you were very close with Tegan when she was sent out. What were you thinking when she didn't get that vote to be saved?
Look, at that time, I was a bit disappointed to see Tegan go home. Obviously, she was my closest alliance there, and she was just a very genuine, trustworthy, decent person. So we really connected and had a really close alliance and a lot of trust between us both. So it was really disappointing to see her go home. Very, very sad, but yeah, at the same time, that's part of the game, and unfortunately not everyone can stay there all the way through to the end. And I was hoping at that point I wouldn't have the target on my back, but unfortunately we lost the next immunity challenge and sent us off to tribal council where I was blindsided. So it's just the way the game unfolded for me.
Yeah. Was your missus at all jealous of the relationship between the two of you? And you're like, no, 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 it's just been edited this way.
No, not at all. I mean, there was nothing to be jealous of. We had a king and queen title put on us, which is funny. You know, male and female, you get that title. Whereas, you know, you've got Benji and Robbie that didn't have a title like that, and you've got Shawnee and Fenella. Anyone could have been given that title. It was just because we had so much in common that we connected like that. But, yeah, my wife's been fine about it. There's nothing to be worried about, and she knows that.
Oh, don't worry, mate. We've got plenty of titles for Robbie and Benji.
Well, share some with me.
Probably Queen and Queen. These guys are almost in love with each other. I love it. Mate, thank you for the chat today. And it's a shame you didn't win it, mate, but good work.
No, thanks, guys.
And the latest figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics has shown a 3.4% downturn in pure alcohol from beer in the last financial year. That means basically we're drinking a lot less beer, which as a country, I'm very surprised to learn that. I can assure you it's not because of me. The last couple of weeks, I'll admit, I haven't had that many, but I think I've been a pretty steady amount consistently. Supposedly, this is the least amount of beer that we've consumed as a country since the 60s. The 60s! You'd think we'd have more to drink about these days, but no, less. I can't believe that. In saying that, wine consumption has gone up a little bit. Maybe we're just a classier bunch. I don't know. But that is some alarming statistics. Good statistics, obviously. Maybe those ads are finally working, the drink wise ones and everything else that goes along with that. Or maybe we just are slowly turning into spirits. Maybe we're drawn to the wine or whatever. But beer consumption at an all-time low. So there you go. Just raise a glass to that. Obviously a glass of water or something, not beer. And I don't know about you, but I am well and truly over this competition promotion that is happening at Coles.
Australia, Coles Little Shop has arrived. We've been making mini collectibles of your favourite big brands, like mini Sunbites, mini Chobani.
Honest to God, everyone in the office is still talking about it. We have one man in the office over the age of 30, no kids, that has one more to go until he collects the entire set. This has been deemed as an unexpected instant success for Coles, and they have announced they're going to be bringing it back in 2019, so look out for that. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. In fact, it's gotten to the point now where they've even had one news article go up yesterday where they've revealed the hotspots in the country to check out, to find the rarest of the items when it comes to the Coles Minis. Ocean Keys, by the way, in WA, if you are thinking about where is that place. I can't get over the fad. It is absolutely insane. I just, even to try and find that ad to play just then for half a second, I typed Coles Minis into YouTube, and it was all these tutorials of people exposing all the sets and how to collect them and how to trade and what's worth what, and that compared to another thing. It has gone so crazy. And if that wasn't enough, it was already extended that Coles are now doing a competition as well to see who enjoyed the promotion the most. You enter a photo online and you can win a year's worth of shopping. I am scared. What is next? They're mini, they're collectible, and people have gone absolutely nuts and lost their minds for them. I can't be the only one that feels this way, surely. I know that some of you are listening right now going, yeah, but do you have any to give away? I don't have any to give away. I never will. I'm over it. It's got, I think, 9 days left. So count them down, 9 days, and then we're going to wait till next year for it to start again. And by wait, I mean we've got to count down the days till we go through that dread all over again. Susan Lee on the line from the Business Advisory, Southwestern Peel. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Alan. How are you?
I am well. Long time no chat. You guys have been busy, I assume.
You have, indeed.
Gearing up for the big industry walkabout.
That's right. The industry walkabouts are the first time for the Southwest in WA. It's something I think people are going to really love, both attending and also participating in.
Now, what exactly is going to be done at this walkabout?
Well, the industry walkabout can be done for any industry. It's really a peer-to-peer networking session. It's like speed dating meets networking meets sort of your regular sort of, you know, like a pub quiz.
Yeah.
It's a good combination. It's lots of fun. And this particular one, we're focusing on the tourism industry, particularly the regional tourism industry, and in lesser-known looking at sort of lesser-known attractions and the products and experiences that locals love but might not know about.
This is good because this is kind of what I do every time I go out to different areas. I was in Greenbushes just the other week looking around at little things that a lot of people just wouldn't even know are there. So you're doing that, but obviously trying to help these businesses capitalise on it.
Exactly, and especially this one's going to be in Bunbury, and we'll run others that are in different centres around the southwest, but Bunbury is particularly pertinent because of the talk in town around the byway road that's being planned. And that's got good and bad impacts for the region. And if you're a small tourism operator or you're running a heritage attraction or an art gallery or even the guys down at the Dolphin Discovery Centre who are going through a big redevelopment, bypassing local tourism traffic is going to have a significant impact on those smaller businesses that rely on that what we call unstructured tourism market. So this industry walkabout's really about getting tourism operators to come along and learn about what's in their region. It's the Bunbury Geograph region, so we're going, you know, covering outside of Bunbury.
Yeah.
And it really in the hope that people can refer business on to tourists when they're standing at the front desk and asking, where should I go? What should I do? I've got an hour to kill. What's good to see?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think it's always good as well as a business to get fresh eyes on it.
Definitely, definitely. And there's lots of benefit for this event. So, for example, the people who are selling, they get to sort of promote what's new. So, you know, the new products, the new tours, perhaps a new special offer. And it's really about skilling them up as well, how to do their elevator pitch quickly so it's not boring. It's like a five-minute pitch, who we are, what we do, why we're awesome.
Yeah.
And then listeners get to sort of move on and then very quickly learn about sort of up to 10 new products and experiences in the region without it being sort of boring or a drag, plus all the networking benefits and plenty of prizes to win.
If people want to register, they need to RSVP?
Yeah, they need to RSVP. We're looking for both sellers. We've got about 5 places left for seller spots. And we're really targeting front of house staff, reception staff from hotels, car hire companies, visitor information centres, people who do a lot of talking to tourists in their day-to-day jobs. And if they'd like to come along, we're hoping for about 70 participants to come along for the night, drinks and catering, and people can register on through our Facebook page.
Yeah, excellent. Of course, go find the Facebook page, Business Advisory Southwestern Peel. Susan, thanks for the chat today and good luck with it.
Thanks, Alan.
Susan Lee there for the Business Advisory Southwestern Peel. And make sure you get along to the event September 18th, 6 p.m. at Maker & Co. Something for everyone.